the essence of who we really are. As Jesus speaks to us in the Course, and as God speaks to us every waking moment, the essence of who we really are is not this personality, as you described it so eloquently, and not this ego. The essence of who we really are is something that has already been here all time, that has always been here, always will be here, and can never leave us. And you know that then we struggle with, as you mentioned, books, and reading one book after another book and another book, and searching out this inner quest for truth through means that we think is outside of ourselves, as if we can take a matrix pill or something, you know, and suddenly get it. Well, I have a very dear friend. We were just talking this week about this thing we call worry, you know. And if you think about it, worry is an ingrained element that's instilled very early in life. You know, we hear our parents and our peers, well-meaning, by the way, tell us, look, don't you worry about this, you should worry about that. And you know, one of the best ones is, don't you worry about me. You know, worry is a property of the ego, the personality, the false personality, that I think I am. And if we think about it, we can come to the realization that there's a part in our mind that does all the thinking, this, and there's a part in our mind that can watch the thinking, this. And this is a point I try to hit home as often as I can, as clearly as I can, you know, because the one mind that we share with God and with everybody else is like the vastest ocean, you know, and the mind that we tend to spend most of our time in is like a drop of water in comparison to that ocean. Unfortunately, 99% of the time we spend in that one little minuscule spot of the mind that reacts, judges, condemns, explains all the analytical stuff that we live in. The real mind is that mind that's accessible once we get out of our own way. And we can do that just by changing our thoughts. The only power we have is to change our thoughts, change our value of what we perceive is important, you know? So what I've learned and what I've heard and through sharing of people like Karen and Regina and Doug and all the wonderful teachers that come here to ACM Gather, and Gary Renard and Dr. John Mundy and Wapnick and all the wonderful teachers that come here, is that, you know, there's a part in our mind that does all this thinking, this, and there's a part in our mind that can watch it. And in the beginning, it's a little difficult to stop all the chattering that goes on. You know, it is impossible to stop the chattering. And trying to stop the chattering and the constant scenarios of everything from music to plans and expectations, and it's impossible to stop that. But what is possible is to watch it. And in the beginning, that's what we can do. We can watch it, and we can just watch. We can just watch what the mind does. And in very short order, I think just doing that continuously for maybe 3 months, just watching without interjecting judgment, without clinging to the thoughts that arise, just watching shows us that thoughts are going to do what thoughts do, with or without our intention or our effort. Thoughts are a property of the body. They are not you. They are what you have, not what you are. this, if you study the course in conjunction with the day of the year, you'll know that we're in lessons in the 220s, which it tells us I am not a body. I am free. I am still as God created me. So then, and it stands to reason that all the properties of the body are not me either, including the thinkingness, and especially the thinkingness. It's the thinkingness that we have to move away from. And once we do, a power so great comes in and clarifies all things. You know, one practice that is very helpful, been helpful to me, is whenever a feeling of discomfort or irritation or any kind of judgment arises in the heart, a good thing to do is just stop, pause, step back, and allow inspiration to help. Just stop, pause, step back, and allow inspiration to help. It's quickly discovered that legions of angels are awaiting, willing, and quite able to help in any situation. Yeah, we live in this world, we perceive, we think we do, and we can't deny the experience that we're having in this world. But there is a greater world, closer than our breath, that is waiting to come and answer and help. Karen's message of I am, and higher self or Holy Spirit or all the terms that are used to eloquently describe the essence of who you really are readily available if we only just get out of our own way. It requires a little effort, you know, real meditation, authentic meditation and contemplation, and I'll explain contemplation in a bit, but real meditation affords us the opportunity, or at least the means, to stand aside and watch what's going on. See, it's in the observer that the eventually what happens is you evolve into beyond even the observer. The Course in Miracles gives us the means to get to the thresholds, the lawns of heaven, by forgiveness, by authentic forgiveness, by forgiving what we think we see through these five very limited senses. You know, we in 1/10,000th of a second, everything that we think we experience is programmed, recontextualized, and all of the associative thoughts come up that have ever been related to whatever we're experiencing. Like we might say, "Oh, I don't like that color," or "I love this particular scenario," whatever it is. Well, when we say that, when we voice those words in our heads, all of the associative thoughts that we've ever experienced related to that color or that experience come up. These are thoughts. And all thoughts, except for the thoughts we think with God, originate from the ego's mentation. Mentation in itself is not required for your survival, for the essence of who you really are. You don't have to think. I mean, why think? Look about what you think about. Most of the time, it's a conversation. It's judgment. It's analytical. It's music, or it's thinking about the past or anticipating the future. Why even think? That's a strange concept, but it's true. It really is true. And as Karen alluded to, the thinkingness itself is what we need to get out of the way. And you can do that, anybody can do that, with persistent effort. It takes consistent effort. contemplation, as I referred to, as Jesus once said, you know, if you're going to think on things of good report. So what are things of good report? What is the practice of thinking on things of good report? Well, these ideas, you know, during the day, all day long, you know, when you're at work or whatever you're doing, or, you know, when you first wake up in the morning after you shake off the sleep, you know, realize that there is a power greater than what these eyes can see, right there with you. You know, there's an abundance of authentic love, genuine love surrounding you. You know, knowing your limitations, knowing the human frailties of problematic existence. It knows, spirit knows what's going on, and it knows how to reach you if you would just allow it in. For many years, I lived in a pea soup of discord and wallowing in misery. And it wasn't until I was able to crash and burn and skid on my face and knees before God came to me and showed me that, look, I'm here with you. I've never left you. And my immediate recognition was, how could I have ever doubted you? How could I have ever possibly doubted you? My message to you and to anybody on this path is that God is with us always, closer than the breath itself. And the path to reach him is just to simply get out of your own way. Get out of the thinkingness. Take the effort to pray. Pray. Take the last lesson in the Course in Miracles. Be you in charge, for I would follow you certain that your direction gives me peace. Just say that all day long. You know? I love you. I love you. You created me. I live in you and you in me. Use that as a mantra, you know, because what that's doing is it's replacing what we normally spend our time in, that idle thinkingness. You know, Jesus told us in the Course and many other ways that we spend all too much time and all too much effort in idle thinking. And that idle thinking is a cesspool that feeds the ego, that verifies the world that we think we see through these five various senses. It shows us that it's real, but it's not. The essence of who you really are is the offspring of God himself. Can you imagine that? You are the Holy Son of God himself. Would he put you in such a situation of misery? Knows not misery, you know, and God's purpose for you is perfect happiness, perfect contentment. And I can tell you from perfect experience, from personal experience, that it's the most real, most profoundly most profound experience that you can ever feel. Surrender has nothing to do with giving something up. It's trading something for something greater. You know, the world that we perceive, that we love, that we cherish, is temporary at best. It's a world of islands of bliss, populated with oceans of misery. So, a really humbly grateful to anybody that's listening is chosen to honor me by being in this room with me now. And I say that because there was a time in this life where I doubt that anybody in this room would willingly choose to be in the presence of Joe Wolf. But it was through crashing and burning, it was through skidding on the knees, and through being cornered and realizing that there has to be a better way, that these teachings came to me. Took a long time, I took a long way around, you know. But I feel so blessed and so grateful that truth is like the aha moment of fool, God, right. I'm not a victim of this world, I think I say. I am not a victim. You know, I'm not subject to something outside of myself. And I can get there, I can achieve this quest, this search, by just stopping, pausing, and allowing inspiration to guide. Holy Spirit has got a very loud voice. We don't hear him normally because we're distracted most of the time. We're preoccupied with the things that we think we need to attend to. The worldly goals, aspirations. We don't realize that everything that we think we need can be addressed and fulfilled by allowing that which is our higher self to come in. You know, one of my favorite teachers, Dr. David Hawkins, who quotes and who edifies and exonerates the Course in Miracles, says, you know, you're going to come to maybe you'll get a flat tire on the road, and you're going to come to a point in your life when whatever you need is going to be there, and there's going to be a brand new wrench sitting right on the side of the road waiting for you. And these experiences have occurred to me, and to everyone. You know, of course, Jesus tells us that all problems will be solved. Everything will get out of your way, you know, so long as you move the misery, move the little thinking mind's tendency to gravitate towards wallowing in misery. Move that away. Talks about relationships, how relationships are very important in our progress. To see every relationship, to see every encounter as a holy encounter, to see every person we meet, whether we know them or not, passing on the street, or intimate friends, family, see them as holy relationships, as an opportunity to either wallow some more in misery, or to bless them as saviors. Again, thank you for sharing these few minutes with me. And I have a prayer. I published it in a couple of my books, and it's a prayer I keep with me all the time. And it's something that may help. I call it a prayer for all solutions. It goes like this. It goes, Dear God, I love you. You created me. I live in you and you in me. Only my own unconscious guilt and belief in this ego, this false personality, keeps me confused. Thank you for everything you give me. Grant me the power to live in your presence, to accept your unconditional love as I learn to forgive. Allow me to remember that you are with me always, with every breath I take, and every movement, in all thoughts, actions, and feelings. Remind me many times during the day until every second becomes another moment spent living in your loving embrace and constant presence. Allow me to be a servant of your will, a vehicle of divine love and a channel of God's will. Give me direction and divine assistance as I surrender all personal will through devotion to you. Allow me the help to dedicate my life to the service of God. Grant me the ability to choose love and peace above all options while I commit to the goal of unconditional love and compassion for all life and all of its expressions as I surrender all judgment to you, God. Make me aware that the world of my ego is a constant and tenacious tendency to react, to feel bad, guilty, mad, defeated, bored, scared, inferior, embarrassed, annoyed, lonely, or superior and condescending. All these give validity to judgment, regardless of the form. And by reacting with judgment, I feed and strengthen the ego's world and reinforce the seeming reality of a separation from you. Please remind me constantly to view all others as my brothers, to realize that we are all one, and to forgive them, for they are one with me, joined in one mind, and also innocently caught in the false ego identity's world of illusion. Never let me forget that I am not this temporary body, but pure spirit created in your likeness, as I continue to live every moment in the knowledge that you are with me always. All loving, forever, you, God, the Alpha and Omega, the All and Everything, the Absolute. So, Jay, thanks for having me, and we'll be back soon.